What is up, guys? Today we're back with another episode of the Daily Dog Podcast. I'm here with Josh and Mark, and today we're going to be talking about music. It was planned to be video games, but some things happened, and we're going to save that for one of the next one of the future podcasts. So we figured we'd go ahead and go with music as our topic. So, Josh, why don't you take it away with our first topic of the day?
Yeah, guys. You know, as Jackson was saying, we kind of got sidetracked. You know, we play football for the high school, and after our last podcast, we had to go to camp for a couple days for football, and in a place with no service, or we would have just done the podcast at camp. But then after that, we started having 2-a-days, and we had all kinds of stuff, and we were just busy every day and didn't have time to record. But, so yeah, sorry about that, guys, but we're finally back, and we're going to try to continue doing our podcast on a weekly basis again. We're going to take a really short break, and we'll be right back with our first topic.
Welcome back, guys. We took that short little break just to collect ourselves a little bit. So what we're going to start off with today is a little bit of voice comparisons. So basically artists that kind of sound similar in our opinions, and that could possibly pull off each other's voices. So Josh, why don't you take it away?
Well, Jackson, the first one I really think of is Kurt Cobain from Nirvana. You know, I'm a Nirvana fan. I like some of their music. I really like Unplugged because it's the first stripped down album I've ever heard. But you know, they did it so well. The mix between Dave puffing on a cigarette back there, barely playing the drums with his ponytail, acting a fool, and you know, Kurt up there just singing with his really, really raspy voice. And you know, it's just one of the greatest albums of all time. But anyway, a lot of people compare Kurt to several artists, but really the main person I hear when I listen to the other band is Sean Morgan from the band Seether. Seether has done several Nirvana covers, and when Sean actually tries, he can make his voice sound exactly like Kurt's. The cracks in while he's singing and everything. So that's really the biggest one in my mind. And I don't know if I can, but I'll try to put some links to Seether singing some Nirvana songs in this podcast description. Do you two have any?
Yeah, I got one. I have the age old one that everybody always makes fun of. Everybody from Mad TV to always talks about Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam and Scott Stapp from Creed. Okay, yes, they always have that. People say that they sound similar, and I mean, I don't think they necessarily sound similar. I think that maybe stage presence, they may be similar, but you know, they're two. I don't know. They're just two different voices, in my opinion. But I will say that comparison is you get to talking about Scott Stapp from Creed and Jim Morrison from The Doors. Their voices kind of mellow on some tracks, like for instance, back at Woodstock in 99, Creed did a cover of The Doors' Riders on the Storm and killed it. I mean, it was awesome. So I think there's a lot of similarities with their voices on that, so it's really, really, really good. And if you get an opportunity, you can go to YouTube, look it up. I mean, it just sounds so great and so awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, especially after watching that Mad TV thing. I personally believe that the lead singer from The Calling sounds more like either one of them than they sound like each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Eddie can do whatever he wants with his voice. He can make it as raspy as he wants. He can sing as high as he wants, as low as he wants. I mean, you go from, like, Last Kiss to Jeremy to Porch. And it's just all different vocal spectrums. Mm-hmm. But then you go to Scott Stapp, and, you know, his voice is not always, but most of the time it's always really raspy and, mm-hmm. you know, really deep and all that.
Well, and I think a lot of it, too, is with Scott Stapp. He, you know, was very young when they was popular and everything. So, I mean, you know, you got that voice, and then when they went away, but then they came back, you formed back, just Creed, and did a reunion tour. You know, his voice had changed, but it was still a little of the rasp, but more deeper, you know, which is, you know, it was kind of needed.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Full Circle. Dude.
Yeah, the album Full Circle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yes, it was I think it's, and that's a lot of times, you know, when you think of 90s and you think of rock music, or, you know, right at the 2000s, that's the two people that you always think that, oh, Scott Stapp copied Eddie Vedder and da-da-da-da-da, but I don't think that's the case. I mean, both are wonderful artists, both are with wonderful bands, and, you know, I've seen Creed live, which is really good. I haven't yet to see Pearl Jam, and probably will not get to, but, I mean, I've seen them, you know, obviously on MTV back in the day when they played videos. Unfortunately, no, now we got to watch stupid shows of doing stunts and about teenagers getting pregnant and this and that. But no, you know, back in the day, you had MTV. You had freaking Metallica debuting Inner Sandman. Or you had, you know, and not just rock. I mean, you had, you know, I can remember you could only see the Madonna Truth or Dare video only, it was after midnight when they debuted it. I mean, you know, the day that Kiss came out without their makeup. I mean, that was a big thing back in the 80s and 90s. And, you know, now what do you got? Oh, no, you got Rob Drydeck with the Ridiculousness. Who gives a crap about that? So, anyway, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It's fine. I agree.
It's just one of those things.
I didn't get to live in that time period.
All right. Next, the next thing, we'll go top five bands.
Alright, so,
wait, now, are we doing favorite, or are we doing, like...
Top five in your opinion.
Well, I mean, in your opinion, but I guess what would be the, like, top five most grossing bands?
Top five favorite bands in your opinion.
Okay.
Because if you did the grossing bands, I mean, that would be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Alright, so I think along with that topic being said, I think to be honest, my top five favorite bands, I mean, of all time, and this will have a favor to rock, but a little bit of country in there too. So my number five would probably have to be the Zac Brown Band. I know that's a little off, but I personally like country as well, along with rock.
That the song they sing, Chicken Fried.
Yeah.
Cold beer on a Friday night.
But yeah, I think they're a really good band. I haven't got to see them in concert, but I've heard stories that their performances are really good. And of course, the lead singer, he's a real nice guy. I think I'm gonna go with number four. Would be Guns N' Roses. Because, I mean, I like Guns N' Roses, but personally, they encompass a lot of the true 80s and 90s era in their songs. Like, for instance, Mr. Brownstone, obviously a metaphor to
their extreme heroin usage.
Yeah.
And that song was written by Axl to try to get his, you know, bandmates, you know, together. And the heroin addiction got so bad that Axl called him out on stage for it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, hey, either quit the heroin or I'm gone. Sorry, but I had to jump in and say that.
Mm-hmm. No, you're good. But yeah, so I think they really... I like them personally because they encompass the era that they were in their songs. So number three, I'm going to have to go with Metallica. And I know Red Music, the YouTube group, would want me to put it as number one. Because we frequently watch them.
Okay, if you don't know what that is, that's a YouTube channel that does top 10 most viewed pop songs in the month of August 2019, or the top 100 most viewed songs, rock songs of the early 2000s. They do that kind of thing. They do lists based off statistics about music on YouTube.
Yeah, so, I mean, I like Metallica personally because they're a real encompassing metal band. They're not like death metal or heavy metal, but they have that hard rock style to them that you could almost classify as metal. So I'm going to go with my number two band. Probably would have to be Poison. Because they had some really good songs in the 80s. Speaking of Poison, their songs were actually featured in a Cartoon Network show called Regular Show. So their songs have got plenty of hits, and they've been worldwide spread through different shows and everything. My number one overall band would have to be Van Halen, just because I've grown up with Van Halen. I like Van Hagar, but the original Van Halen is really good.
With David Lee Roth.
Yes, I like
Mr. High Kicker. Woo!
I like them personally. Because I grew up with them. Josh, what are your top five bands?
You see, number five is gonna have to be. I'm probably gonna say Led Zeppelin because Jimmy Page and Robert Plant and John Bonham and Jason Bonham. I said it wrong, didn't I?
No, you said it right. You're good.
You're good.
I'm losing my mind. Sorry, we had a game earlier tonight and my head's a little jacked up, I guess you could say. But anyway, so number four would have to be Creed. Because I really like the combination between Scott Stapp's vocals and Mark on guitar. Creed is just one of those bands who can be explosive, but they can also be a band that's soft with songs like With Arms Wide Open. You know, it's kind of more mellower. But they can come out with Bullets and rock the house. You know, it's just, they have that versatility, and I've always liked it. I'm on three, correct? Yes, my number three band is Van Halen, but I don't like David Lee Roth. I am a Sammy Hagar Van Halen fan. Sammy Hagar is a better singer for Van Halen because they got their only number one album in the charts with Sammy Hagar. 5150, amazing album. Check it out. Except Summer Nights, I don't like that song.
Plus the fact that he sings.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! And have the leg kick in and all this.
But also, it made Van Halen a much better band. Because Eddie didn't have to only focus on guitar. Eddie could go back and play the keyboards. Because mm-hmm. Sammy could shred, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've just thought ever... When he joined Van Halen, Van Halen took off. Van Halen stopped being held back by a turd. They turned into a diamond. Not Diamond Dave. No. They flourished and they became one of the greatest bands of all time because of it.
Well, and also they were able to make more money because one of the songs that they produced was Right Now, which Pepsi bought, and they used that song to introduce, in the 90s, Crystal Clear Pepsi.
And also, along with that, they got sponsorship through the United States Navy by using the Blue Angels in a music video for the song Dreams. Boom.
So you just, like, talked against David Lee Roth, so now are you going to, like...
No, I like both of them. I still like both of them.
I don't know, Jackson. I've not really heard you listen to Poison very much. So, your list kind of surprised. Sorry, guys. Jackson's in La La Land because he doesn't know how to defend his list. So, I'm going to get back to my list. Number three, I had Van Halen, otherwise known as Van Hagar, because I like the Sammy Hagar days, not David Lee Roth, or not the guy they had after Sammy, I don't even know his name. But, my number two is Pearl Jam, because they've always been one of my favorite bands, and their music has always spoke really loudly to me, and... They've just, I don't know,
I think Eddie Vedder is one of the coolest guys in the world because, you know, he just acts crazy. But, yeah. And my number one is the Beatles because my mom used to play it all the time when I was a baby and child and stuff. And I just got hooked on it and, you know, they're the greatest band of all time. So, yeah, there's my list. Mark, what is yours?
My top five. Let's see, I got several that come to mind, but I don't know, I guess my top five would probably be, number five would probably be Soundgarden. Love Soundgarden, you know, obviously part of the grunge era that came from Seattle. Yeah, grunge, if you call that a word. They have, you know, Chris Cornell as with lead vocals and, you know, had a lot of songs in the 90s, like Black Hole Sun, Spoon Man, and just many others. Number four would have to probably be, I'm going to have to say Creed. Creed was really, you know, like I said, they're a great band. Took the nation by the storm when, you know, came out. When they first came out, their album, My Old Prison, it wasn't very popular. Just only true fans enjoyed it. But then when they came out with Human Clay, which had featured the track Higher, then, I mean, they just went like nuts. Then that's all you ever heard was Creed, Creed, Creed.
That's the only Creed song they ever play on the radio.
No, that with Arms Wide Open is the one they always play.
Well, I've not heard it. All I've heard is Higher, and
yeah,
I like the song. I just get burned out on it.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's this way it goes at times. And please excuse me because I got some, some sinus issue stuff going on. So anyway, if you hear me sniffling, it's just me. So, my number three would probably be, I'm going to say, Poison. I mean, I loved Poison growing up. Bret Michaels, you know, was just, you always seen him with the teased hair and everything, and the teased hair and the hot, like, you know, they had like the hot pink and the hot green. I mean, it was real flashy. But, I mean, some of the hits, like, you know, Nothing But a Good Time, Talk Dirty to Me, Unskinny Bop, I mean, all that era, I mean, it was just so awesome. Plus the big hair that CeCe DeVille, he had, he was the guitarist. I mean, you know, he was just, it was like a big thing back in the day. Even though they're noted as, like, the number one 80s hair band, you know. Number two would probably be Linkin Park. They're a band that's, you know, they started out like an emo band, but then they really started to pick up momentum when they started their album. What was it? I can't remember. I think it's Meteora. No, it wasn't Meteora.
Hybrid Theory?
The Hybrid Theory, yes. When the video for In the End came out, then everybody was on board with Linkin Park. And, you know, they were one of the few rock rap mixture of the album or bands that came out. You know, one before, the predecessor was Limp Bizkit. You know, we all know about Limp Bizkit and, you know, Fred Durst and all this and that. But and they were cool in the time, but, you know, Linkin Park has had the longevity to stay. And, you know, it's just, I really like it. Hate the fact that, you know, Chester, you know, passed away, but, you know, everybody's got demons to face. But they were an awesome band. And my number one all-time band would have to be Guns N' Roses.
And I forgot to put them on my list because I'm dumb.
Because I'm dumb.
Slash is one of my influences, except I don't want to die.
Well, the thing is that, you know, if you classify this as, you know, how much you listen to it, how much this and that, Guns N' Roses, I went and I'll never forget, I remember going and buying you know, all albums. I have all the albums, and, you know, when they did the tour in Japan, I have the video of it. Anyway, it's just, Guns N' Roses was just that, they started out as like an 80s hair band, but then, you know, they had a little bit more grit than the colorful band of the 80s. And you had like, you know, Axl with the voice and, you know, the shrill that he always would put out. And of course, you know, there was always, you know, being a kid of the 80s, you know, they always had cussing and stuff. So you were like, oh yeah, I got a cool CD because they're cussing, you know. So that was one of the things about it. And then when the Use Your Illusion albums came out, I'll never forget waiting in line for Use Your Illusion 1. It was so great. You know, two albums came out. And of course, it was a long time in between them, between like Guns N' Roses Lies, because that was the first one was Appetite for Destruction. Then Lies came out 2 years later. Then that was in 1988. Well, they went 5 years before any other Guns N' Roses albums were released. Then they put two out within a year. So I'll never forget that. That was awesome. And Slash, he's the dude when it comes to, you know, later on we're doing a, like, best guitarist. And I'm telling y'all guys right now, best guitarist in my league and my generation of all time is Slash. I mean, he's just, you know, he's just one of the greatest.
Fun fact about your list and somebody you have on your list and his list. Before Slash joined Guns N' Roses, he tried out for Poison. And the only reason he didn't join Poison was the dress code. He wanted to wear his black boots, and they were like, no, you must wear colorful crap, and the dress code just kept him out of it, so.
Well, CC DeVille, who was the guitarist for Poison, he always had, like, yellow trench coats or pink trench coats or green trench coats, and, I mean, that was just part of his repertoire, so that's a good fact to know. All right, the next thing we're doing is best guitarist, which is, you know, you all have already heard what mine is. Josh, what's yours?
I have a tie for number one. I'm going to say my top three, but I have a tie for the first.
Well, we can't have a top three. Five. You just got to have a
one. Yeah, I know. It's just difficult.
If you could have them have a jam session, I mean, who would be the one on top? Who would outlast the other?
Either way, it's either Slash.
Apparently, there's a pack of wild hyenas outside the door.
Yes,
I'm glad we got our shotguns ready.
Yeah, on the top of my list, it's got to be either Slash or Eddie Van Halen. You know, Eddie Van Halen was one of my biggest influences in learning how to play guitar, because, you know, you're a kid and you watch Eruption for the first time, and you freak out. Because, you know, it's amazing.
It is.
So,
yeah.
I just have to have a tie for number one between Slash and Eddie Van Halen. I can't choose between them. Now, if I had my friends Bill and Ted here, I'm sure they would pick...
Wild Stallions!
I'm sure they would pick Eddie Van Halen. So, yeah, that's my number one, I guess you could say, because I just can't pick between them.
All right, Jackson, what's yours?
My best guitarist of all time, I mean, honestly, I don't want to go with the obvious, I don't want to go with the crowd choice of, Jimi Hendrix. I mean, of course, yes, he was a good guitarist, but mine would have to be, Joe Perry from Aerosmith. The reason is, because, I mean, of course, with him being Aerosmith, of course, he got along with all of the incidents that happened with Aerosmith. But I think he really helps encompass Aerosmith with
what do you mean all the things
music
with Aerosmith? Because he helped, yeah. He helped Steven Tyler bust through that wall to let Run DMC in.
Which is the only version of Walk This Way I like, because it's good. It's got guitar and it reminds me a lot of Drive by Incubus, because, you know, they have the solid guitar, but they also have the record spinning, whatever. Mm-hmm. What do they call that? I don't know.
But yeah, so I would have to go with Joe Perry. So yeah. Our next topic is our personal opinion of the best vocalist or singer.
And we'll be right back with that after this break.
Hey guys, we're back with the best vocalist. So I guess, what, in my opinion, my best vocalist would probably have to be, I'm gonna have to go with Scott Stapp from Creed, because, of course, he's got that, those real raspy vocals, in Creed, and along with the admiration of Creed as a kid, because my dad introduced it to me. Yeah, I'm gonna go stop Scott Stapp. So, Dad, what do you think about yours?
Vocalist wise, I would have to go with. Let me think here. I'm honestly, you know, as far as harmonious and their voice is so distinctive, I would have to go with Chad Kroeger with Nickelback. Simply because it's the distinctiveness of it. It's always the same. When you hear him, you know it's him. All right, Josh, what about you?
I'm going to have to say... I want to say, too, this is kind of like the Eddie Van Halen and Slash thing. Because I have a lot of admiration for both of them. But I'm going to have to say Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin. Because... You know, you listen to songs like Stairway to Heaven, it's beautiful. And you listen to... Then you go and listen to a song like... an immigration song. And, you know, that big yell at the beginning. It's... Yeah. It's really good. And my other one was Eddie Vedder. But, yeah. I couldn't decide between them. So, yeah. I'm gonna have to go with Robert Plant.
So, looks like our next topic on the list is, what's your favorite Christian band of all time? So I guess we'll start with you, Josh.
Well, as they probably, well, I guess they don't know, but all three of us are pretty religious people, you know. We all worship the Lord, love the Lord, and
yep. Hate Satan.
Yeah, we do whatever we can do to, you know, minister and spread his word, and, you know, we just love music and love comic books and all that stuff. But, you know, my favorite Christian rock band is either Disciple or Skillet. Or DC Talk, but I... You know, Disciple is something that me and my dad both like, because we can work out to it pretty easily, because Disciple's a pretty rocking band, you know. But, personally, probably, actually, my favorite Christian band, I fell in love with them all over again, is Skillet. You know, they're really good artists, but they also spread the Lord's word, which I respect. And, you know, I've liked them since I listened to Awake for the first time in my dad's Altima. So, Mark, what about you?
Well, I mean, I got several bands that come to mind. I mean, Skillet is one that I really, really, really like, and I've seen them several times.
Winter Jam.
Yeah, Winter Jam. Yeah, this is good. But like, there's some bands, like, I think of, Fireflight is a good band.
Oh, wait, yeah. Yeah, Flyleaf. I didn't put Flyleaf on my thing.
Flyleaf is a good band.
I literally just bought a Flyleaf shirt, and I wore it to school.
So just to, you know, narrow it down to one, it's kind of hard to. I mean, there's, you know, Fireflight, there's Flyleaf, there's Third Day, there's, Mercy Me, you know, you know, Big Daddy Weave.
Hank Williams.
Yeah, I mean...
Red.
Red. There's several that that come to mind. So, I mean, it's... But, I mean, if I had to choose one from all of them, I would have to say probably... I'm going to go old school. I'm going to go DC Talk. I mean, I like Skillet, but, you know, DC Talk's where it got me. Being an original Jesus freak is what got me to where I'm at now. So,
mine would have to be either between Skillet, DC Talk, and what's their name?
I've never heard that.
The David Crowder Band.
Is it Barlow Girl?
No.
David Crowder Band. He's known as just Crowder now.
No, I'm talking about the David Crowder Band.
The David Crowder Band.
The original,
like the Ohio State University.
The original God's Not Dead?
Yes.
Yes. But, I mean, it would have to come between those three, but out of those three, I'd probably go Skillet, because I've grown up listening to Skillet more than I have Decent Talk. I've recently gotten Decent Talk.
You're welcome!
But, yeah, I think Skillet's good, because, of course, on their Awake album, Collide's a really good album, and then their new albums are pretty good, too. They're a little bit more heavier, but, yeah, so I'm going to go Skillet. So I guess the last topic
is, this is the part where me and Josh get to sleep, because it's all about Jackson and his rap, which one he would like to, you know, his top three rap artists. So take it away, Jackson.
Yeah.
Nighty Night.
Real quick, I don't know about Mark, but the closest I get into rap is Mike Shinoda and Linkin Park, or Toby Mac and DC Talk, or, you know, sometimes P.O.D., well, I mean, they don't really rap, but, you know, they sing really, really fast.
Well, now, if you want to kick it really old school, all you gotta do is finish this phrase. Stop, collaborate, and listen. The original Vanilla Ice. That's as far as rap goes with me. And maybe a little Baby We Got Back with Sir Mix-a-Lot. That's about it.
Okay.
So take it away.
Okay, so with rap, I know these two don't really prefer it. But I'm going to have to go with my top three. I'll go with my top three, and then we'll move on. So number three would probably have to be DaBaby. He's pretty good. He does pretty good songs. They're good pump-up songs. And then number two, I'm going to have to go with Logic. Now, some people may not think of Logic really good as like a mainstream rapper, but, I mean, for a middle-aged... Man, I think he's only 30, he's 30-something, 20-something, but,
You see, when you said Logic, I automatically assumed book smarts, but...
He's a really good rapper. Like, he's got songs like Homicide.
Really good?
It's not titled good, but it's got Eminem in it. He's the one that wrote the Suicide Number song, the one about not, committing suicide.
He has a song called Homicide.
And then he did another song called... Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it.
Just like that goth
Keanu Reeves. It's called Keanu Reeves. And it's supposed to be just like...
That's the name of the song. Keanu Reeves?
And,
The Matrix.
And then, besides Logic, I'm going to go with my number one. My number one would probably have to be,
Barry Bryant?
Either...
Wild Stallions.
Either Drake. I'll have to go with Drake number one, because Drake is pretty good at rapping.
Is that the Canadian
Course,
guy?
He's a big time Kentucky fan.
The Wii Sports.
He's the only Kentucky fan.
But yeah, he's a really good supporter of the Kentucky Athletic Program and
basketball. Basketball.
Athletic, yeah.
Program. Not football.
But yeah, so I'm going to go with those three for my rap. So we'll be right back, taking a short break to wrap up this podcast, and we'll see you guys in a minute. Thank you guys so much for listening to this podcast. It's been a pleasure talking about music. Of course, like we said, we couldn't do video games this week because we had things going on. But in the future date, we will do a video game podcast. We don't know right now when the next day of the podcast will be. Of course, with football season starting, having our first game tonight, we'll be having it every week, a packed, busy schedule. So we'll join you all next time, and we will let you know the date and time as soon as we can on any social media platform. And like I say, just keep it cool, and Daily Dogs out.